Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Las Vegas for the Canelo Alvarez Gennady Golovkin fight. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-L-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, and at Degenerates975, and at the producer, Nick, who is taking pictures of hot Latin media women for you.
There you go.
So
what a gentleman.
Yeah, so if you missed the first hour, we hit on Texans a little bit. We'll get to that a lot more as the show goes on, and a lot of boxing because that's what we're here for, Canelo, Triple G. And there is a lot of jealousy going around over your hat.
Yes, a lot of people are jealous that I got a hat from Tom Loeffler, and they did not. But
it's a pretty cool hat, I have to say.
But Tom and I have, since yesterday, become personal friends. And a lot of these people are just what I would call hanger-oners.
Okay. And, so who's a pitcher and who's a catcher?
First of all, neither Tom nor I play baseball.
Oh, okay.
Nor are we what you're insinuating.
No, I thought you were playing baseball.
You thought we were on a baseball team.
Well, yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know where you got that idea from. My goodness.
You thought a couple, guys
who
in there.
Who do you think I am?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like you're acting like a pig.
Yeah, because I do that all the time.
But it's okay. They can hate. The hater's gonna hate. But the player's gonna play. And I'm just gonna shake. Shake them off. Shake them off.
I see.
In the words of a great American poet, that's how it's going to be.
Interesting. Interesting question. When AJ get hat, it not rain.
That's right. It hasn't rained all day.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. We're just having fun out here in Las Vegas, and we had Jim Lampley, who wasn't irritated. He always does the microphone slam when he's done.
Okay.
That's nothing new.
That's his move.
Yeah.
Maybe I've just never noticed before.
Yeah. And Roy Jones was great. We had him.
Did you notice? Jamie Smoove is still over there shadow boxing and yelling.
Yeah. Are we having him on?
No.
Okay, good.
No.
That's not my thing. Yelling is not my thing.
Thoughts on... was there enough improvement last night from the Texans that you've changed your mind about what they are overall?
I hadn't really changed my mind based off week one, other than that maybe they're 7-9 instead of 9-7, because I think that was their range all along, and I think it's still their range. I thought it was a good win for them, considering the injuries, considering they were pulling a tight end off the practice squad, considering how short they are at receiver, and that they were throwing a rookie quarterback out there on a short week. And the game really turned, and we talked about this in the first hour, about where it turned on the interception that didn't happen and then the fumble that did, and how that basically flipped the game. But the reality is the defense showed me more of what I need to see out of them. And the things I talked about yesterday, here's what has to happen, was the defense has to be better, force turnovers, get pressure on Andy Dalton. They did that. Offensively, they need to not turn the ball over and get some production. And the difference was Watson's ability to run, because that one play was
that's a difference in the game. For sure.
It was a difference in the game.
A broken play.
And as a pass, but that's all right. That's the NFL's a game of mistakes, AJ. I mean, things like that are going to happen.
But it doesn't mean that your offense has necessarily got it figured out.
Nobody's saying the offense is fixed, and I'm not saying that either. I think there's still problems with a lack of weapons, and a lot of that's injuries and some of that scheme. I think Deshaun Watson moving forward is going to get better.
Not next week, he won't.
Well, that's the thing. The Patriots tend to
embarrass rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah. But the reality is, I think for what he did last night, don't turn the ball over, And, boy, he that pop from Geno Atkins. Oh, I'm surprised he got it from that. But make plays with your feet and get better as the game goes on, which, by the way, he did.
He did.
That drive in the fourth quarter was, I mean, he was on target, and that was him in college. He was a guy who got better with each quarter. And you know I love quarterbacks like that. That's Russell Wilson. That's Cam Newton. That's Tom Brady. That's Aaron Rodgers. That's Ben Roethlisberger. Those guys are better in the fourth quarter than they are the first. They're the anti-Blake Bortles. But and I'm not putting him in that category. I'm just saying I like seeing that kind of production in the fourth quarter. So those are all positives. And I think the fact that so many – I mean, the fact that none of us thought they were going to go in there and win that football game on a short week, they showed me something.
Yeah.
Now – they're going to have to be better on both sides of the ball. And now, you know, we talked about the cluster injuries at tight end and wide receiver. Now you got problems in the secondary. You got guys out there that shouldn't even be on your practice squad because Jonathan Joseph went out with a shoulder injury. Looks like it's at least 4 to 6 games for Kevin Johnson with a knee sprain.
Yeah.
So, and that guy may never be healthy, and that's – I mean, he can play. He can, but he can't.
I don't think he – I mean, he didn't look that great before he got hurt.
Well, he didn't look great last week, but none of them did, so I'm not blasting him for that. What I go back to is last year before he got hurt, he was playing as well as anybody in that secondary, and I think he's capable of playing like that. He was also coming off a major injury. Maybe he wasn't 100% right, but now he's definitely not going to be 100% right. And I just wonder – he's such a slight guy. I don't know if he can stay healthy.
I don't either.
But you got a lot.
And, of course, that's going to bring up the should they have kept A.J. Bouye questions, which, I mean, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because you were thin back there to begin with, and you were counting on a guy coming off a major injury to play big-time minutes for you.
What are they going to do with that cap money? I mean, you're not signing Dwayne Brown. You didn't keep Bouye.
I don't know.
What are you doing with it?
I don't know.
I'm just curious. You've already re-signed everybody you need to re-sign, with the exception of Dwayne Brown.
Right.
I mean,
that's just going to sit there.
I'm just curious.
You're going to pay Jay Prosh.
Actually, all right, though, as much as we've ripped him, but she's still mad at you. I can tell. That look.
Should I sing my Taylor Swift song to her?
That might do it. But, yeah. That's a look that every wife I've ever had has given me over everything I've ever done.
So. What were you saying about Jay Prosh?
He actually played pretty well last night.
He did.
He had a huge block on the Watson touchdown run. They used him in some different ways. And
well, they used everybody in different ways because they didn't have their normal personnel.
Right, they had to.
Yeah.
But I thought as much fun as we made of him when he signed his contract, I thought he played pretty well last night.
Yeah.
And I thought DJ Reader played well. J.J. Watt made some plays, and it was kind of a perfect ending with him basically trucking an offensive lineman in the game.
Yeah.
That was fun. Clowney had the interception return and got pressure on. That's what they needed. They needed those guys to step up. And I think on the whole, they weren't going to score any more points than that. That was pretty much going to be their limit. So I think the way that they ran the ball, Lamar Miller actually had a pretty good game. You throw the rushing yards in from Watson, and suddenly it's a pretty good rushing game.
Yeah.
And Foreman looked good, too. I think this is how they're going to have to win, 13-9. Eventually, Deshaun Watson will produce more points as he gets more help, as people start coming back from injury, as they figure out the best way to structure this offensive line. You saw Davenport last night. You saw Fuller last night. They had all their rookies out there at one point. And I think eventually, if everybody's healthy and Dwayne Brown signed, Xavier Suofilo doesn't see the field ever again. And they'll get by with what they got.
Well, here's where I'm at with what I saw last night. My overall takeaway is that the offense it's bad. It's going to stay bad. You know.
But guess what? It's been the entire
This is nothing new. It was promising that the defense was better yesterday, and maybe it's because it was against a crappy offense, but I honestly don't think that much of the Jags offense either. So I'm just going to look at it like, they were better than they were last week. And I think the other big deal was turnovers.
Right.
They didn't turn the ball over yesterday. And they forced a crucial turnover. And
they forced that turnover. That yeah. wasn't a dude made a mistake. That was a defensive player making a play.
It's so funny. I think back to like when I've a couple years into working here, and we used to sit here and clown on what a bust of a draft pick Kareem Jackson was. And it took him a long time to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I think he's one of the most undervalued guys on this team.
He plays safety. He plays corner.
Everywhere.
He plays
inside. He plays outside. Wherever they need him.
He's become a really good tackler in addition to being a good cover guy. And, yeah, he's turned into a real nice player for them. So.
And when you see Kevin Johnson limping off the field, you see Jonathan Joseph banged up his shoulder. Kareem's durable.
Kareem comes to play, and he plays through stuff.
He lays the wood, and he is durable.
Yeah. So
I like that guy. I think you got a good performance from him, and they needed somebody on that defense to step up. I think he was the guy yesterday who really stepped up and had an outstanding game. I think J.J. Watt's only going to get better. You know, I think Clowney's only going to get better as the season goes on. And Clowney, besides the one play where the ball basically got thrown into his hands, he was a non-factor again for the most part.
Yeah, he did get pressure on a couple plays, and Watt got pressure on a lot of plays. He just didn't get to the quarterback. But McKinney played well. I think Cunningham's going to be a player for him. Defensively, I expect him to improve, although if you keep getting injuries in the secondary, it doesn't matter who you have up front. They're going to pick on you with quick passes against bad players.
And as good as the Texans have been with kicking and punting, they are the worst return coverage team.
Yeah.
I mean, it is embarrassing at times. And that guy last night was dancing on those boys. I mean, he was all over the place and just slipping through cracks. They struggle with that. They've got to get that figured out. I mean, they gave up so many yards of field position that shouldn't have been given up. If you do that against the Patriots, that's touchdowns, not field goals.
But I got to say, they made the right call on the kicker, it looks like.
Yeah.
And that guy gets the ball through the end zone. He made all his field goals. Overall, though, I got to say it was a good effort. It was how they're going to have to win football games. It's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be sexy. But that's how they're going to have to beat teams. Now, the one little bit of cold water I'll throw on this, and we talked about this yesterday. You were asking, should Bengals fans be melting down the same way? And I said yes. Mm-hmm. And one of the big comparisons that I made was the offensive lines in that the offensive line for the Bengals was terrible. Man, this guy is pretty consistent. He just keeps yelling.
I told you. That's his deal.
All right, I have to admit, I don't know who that guy is.
You don't know J.B. Smoove?
I do not. What does he do?
Your pop culture game is weak, Fred.
Your definition of pop culture, my game is weak, because your pop culture is the things that you think are pop culture. Mine is what I think is pop culture. I don't know who he is.
I mean, pop culture is pop culture.
No, it's not. It's defined by there are people who think the Kardashians are pop culture, but there are people who don't know who they are.
J.B. Smoove was on Curb Your Enthusiasm, a show that I know you've watched.
I'm not a big Curb Your Enthusiasm guy. Okay. I'm not a big Larry David guy. I'm not a big Seinfeld guy.
All right.
I mean, I've watched it. It doesn't do anything for me. So that's what he was on?
That's one of the things he was on.
Well, what else? Give me something else.
I mean, he's a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian. He's done Def Comedy Jam a bunch of times. He's been in a couple small movie roles, but nothing big.
Okay.
You just don't know the black culture, Fred.
Yeah, I don't think...
I'm a friend of the black man.
I love how you make this racial, because
I don't want to say you're an enemy of the black man.
A fringe guy who's out here yelling, you're saying I don't know pop culture because of.
I mean, J.B. Smoove
is... you don't know who Vivian Campbell was, so yeah, I have no respect for you.
I don't think J.B. Smoove is fringe, but...
He's got a cool name, but...
I mean, I
don't see him on TMZ all the time, because I read TMZ all the time, so I know a lot of people based on that.
He's got 121,000 Twitter followers.
That's less than R.J. Bell.
So he's not famous?
Nope.
Well, R.J. Bell's famous.
R.J.'s very famous. But I'm just saying, 121,000 doesn't make you a pop culture icon.
I didn't say he was an icon.
Well, but you told me I didn't know pop culture because I never heard of the guy. Get the bleep out of here with that crap. You know what you should be doing instead of looking up his Twitter followers? You need to get on MyBookie and make some plays for tonight. That's what you should be doing. because it's football season, man. It's not his season. It's our season. This is the time to make some money. MyBookie's an industry-leading website, the best place for you to cash in on all the exciting sports action. In-game live betting on nearly every sporting event, which is the best thing. If you miss the start of the game, you say, oh, damn, I wanted to bet that. Well, they got in-game betting. And if you join now, MyBookie will match your deposit with a bonus up to 100%. And if you're tired of getting the runaround when you ask for withdrawals, this is the best thing, because I've now cashed out 5 times on MyBookie. No problems whatsoever. Get the money right away. With decades of expertise, no hassle payouts, and no fine print, you're going to experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. And one time I had problems getting a deposit in, called them, boom, 2 minutes, done, fixed. So they're going to help you out. Customer service is great. Your opportunity. Everybody always asks me where to bet. This is where you go. Call 844-900-BETS or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about Tri-Eagle Energy. Shopping for electricity rates, nobody likes it. It's not a fun thing, but Tri-Eagle's trying to make it easy for you. They're a born and raised in Texas company that provides simple fixed rates. That means you're going to pay the same rate no matter how much or how little electricity you use. There's no hidden fees. It's an easy, fast sign-up process with no gimmicks and no surprises on your bill at the end. Sign up for the basic Eagle 12. That'll lock you in for 12 months at 8.7 cents when you use the promo code ESPN. You'll even receive a weekly usage update, so you already have an estimate for your energy charges before the bill hits the mail. And Tri-Eagle, what they do differently than other guys is they have tons of little ways to try to keep you from using as much energy. They're trying to lower your energy usage overall, which is going to make your house run more efficiently, just be a smarter house. What are you waiting for? It's an easy decision that you could feel good about. 877-93-EAGLE or visit TriEagleEnergy.com. That's TriEagleEnergy.com. Remember that promo code ESPN, PUCT number 10064.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. All right, we should zip through these games against the line here before we have RJ on with some opinions going. Titans-Jaguars right now a pick'em at Jacksonville. I have no real opinion on this game. If you stuck a gun to my head, I'd probably take the Titans, especially with Jalen Ramsey banged up. But I have no interest in this game.
All right, give me the Titans.
Okay. Browns plus 8 against the Ravens. I'm going to lean Brown here. I still think the Ravens have problems on offense. I think especially after what we saw out of Cincinnati last night, I think the Browns are better than they've been in the past. I still don't think they're winning a lot of games, and I don't think they're winning this one. But I'll take them plus 8.
Yeah, I was a sucker last week and bet against the Ravens, which I never do. But here I am. I'll do it again. If I get outside a touchdown, yeah, I'll take the Browns.
Sooner or later, they won't let you down.
That number is up to 9 now. I'm definitely on the Browns.
Yeah, that's a Panthers minus 7 against the Bills. This is one of those that outside of 7, I like Buffalo. Inside of 7, I like Carolina. I think it's a
good number. I like Buffalo.
Patriots now minus 6.5 at the Saints. I kind of have a feeling the Patriots are going to stomp a hole in these guys. I'm more interested in the over, but it's gone all the way up to 56.5.
I still think that's a very manageable number, though.
I do, too.
I mean, you're asking for a touchdown from each team every quarter, which I don't think is unreasonable.
Saints are better on offense at home. And
the Patriots aren't that good on defense, given what we saw last week.
And we know the Saints suck on defense.
And if Alex Smith can torch you downfield, imagine what Drew Brees can do.
Yeah,
I think it's a high-scoring game.
Over 56.5.
I'll take over and Pats minus 6.
Okay. Cardinals minus 7 at the Colts. And Colts going with Brisket at quarterback.
I'm going to go with the Colts plus 7.
Okay.
The Colts are awful offensively. We know that. There's no Andrew Luck. They don't have much talent other than him. I think Brissett gives them sort of a wrinkle, if you will. I hate to say it like that, but it gives them something that Arizona probably hadn't prepared for. And I think it gives them an added dimension on that offense, maybe even a survival dimension on that offense that they wouldn't have had with Tolzien. And Arizona's having to completely restructure what they do on offense because Kerwin Williams and David Johnson are not interchangeable parts.
Well, just like Andrew Luck and Scott Tolzien aren't.
No. So, but both these teams without their best offensive players, I'm going to take the Colts getting a touchdown at home.
I tend to agree. Chiefs minus 5.5 against the Eagles at home. A little surprised by this number because I would have thought there would have been more reaction to the Chiefs beating the crap out of the Patriots. 5.5 seems manageable to me. I think the Eagles are a good team, but it's at KC. Although, former assistant coach, it's probably one I'm going to lay off, but I probably would lean Chiefs.
Well, I'm going to go with the Chiefs. Just Andy Reid on extra, with extra time to prepare. I mean, his record is just dominant. So I'll go with Andy Reid there, having the long week and what I think is just a better team.
Steelers open -4, now at -6. And talk that Sam Bradford's banged up for the Vikings.
Yeah, that's rough. I think Steelers, after what I would say was a disappointing performance for them last week, and Minnesota got a better performance than I think we expected out of them, I'm going to go Steelers -6.
I like
sort of a comeback.
I like the Vikings defense, but short week. And even if he's not banged up, Sam Bradford's not going to do what he did to the Saints defense. So I'm kind of with you. I think the Steelers inside a touchdown. I'm on Pittsburgh.
Well, to me, Pittsburgh's an above-average home field advantage.
Right.
So you're saying that let's say you just give them 3 points. You're saying that the Steelers are only better 3 points better than the Vikings?
Yeah,
I don't think so. Especially with a banged up Sam Bradford? Nah.
Buccaneers -7 against the Chicago Bears.
I like Tampa. I think Chicago shot their shot last week. I mean, everybody's going to be up for a big game week one against the NFC champions, and they came really close. Big letdown. I think Tampa, who's – I don't want to say they've had – extra time to prepare because they've also been dealing with a lot of distractions. But I think Tampa's going to come out swinging, and I think they're going to have a good showing.
I'm on the opposite side of this because I think Tampa, these distractions are going to be very, very difficult for them. I think the Bears with a game under their belt and really should have won that football game. And I think they did a lot better job of protecting the ball last week. I think they cover. I don't think they win. I think Tampa wins. But I think 7's too much. And I'll keep an eye on that line because if it gets in outside of 7, gets to 7.5, I will definitely make a play on it. It opened at 6.5 and it's gone to 7. Dolphins +4 at the Chargers.
I'll take the Chargers. I think I grade the Chargers higher than most. And you know I'm not big on what the Dolphins have going. I'm not big on anything they got going offensively.
Wait a minute. You love Jay Cutler.
I do, but
you have naked
pictures
of Jay Cutler in your home.
I don't know about Jay Cutler, you know, just showing up and suddenly being great. I don't really picture that being the case, but I like the Chargers. I mean, it's not much of a home field advantage, but they are at home. I'll take the Chargers.
I'm concerned about Miami for the same reason I'm concerned about Tampa Bay. And I won't play this game because I want to take the Dolphins. But I think the week off and everything they had to deal with is going to be a problem. Raiders -13.5 at home against the Jets. Not going to touch this, but because I hate giving up 13.5 points in the NFL. It's just it almost never works out. But the Jets are so bad, I just can't bring myself to bet them to cover.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't imagine that working out for them. So I'll be following you on that one.
Rams -2.5 at home against the Redskins.
Give me the Redskins to bounce back. Shoddy showing last week. I think the Rams are not nearly as good as what we saw in week one. So I think that there's going to be sort of a coming back to earth for them. I think I forgot what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm with you. My God. Nick tweeted a picture out earlier, so you guys will know what we're talking about.
My goodness.
About. Wow. Okay, yeah. On a scale of 1 to okay, Cowboys and Broncos. Broncos are Cowboys are 2.5-point favorites on the road.
Give me Denver.
I'm kind of leaning that way. I want to see what that number goes to because it started at -1. If I can get it on 3, I'm all over Denver. 2.5 I have my concerns about. But I'm kind of with you. I think overall I like Denver.
I think Denver is the kind of team that's going to make Dallas a one-dimensional team. I think Dak Prescott would struggle throwing the ball against Denver. And if Denver can load up and stop the run, they'll do okay.
I'm sorry, did you say something?
No.
Seahawks minus 14 against the 49ers. The classic double-digit division dog.
I mean, this is such a – what I think is a good team playing at home against such a really talentless team on the road. But I can't give that many points. If I had to play it, I would take San Francisco. But there's no way I'm betting the 49ers, but I can't bet the Seahawks on that number.
No. And finally, Falcons minus 2 at home against the Packers – or minus 3, excuse me. I like the Falcons quite a bit in this game. And RJ and I talked about this on our SB Nation show Tuesday. Packers under 500 on the road over the last 5 years.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and Atlanta, new stadium, really good football team that's going to bounce back. And as good as the Packers look at home, there are times you look at them on the road and you go, what the hell, especially earlier in the season. I'm on the Falcons. This is actually a play for me.
Yeah, I like the Falcons to cover as well. I think that they didn't come out and perform well, but they've got a – well, they had a good home field advantage. I'm assuming it's going to be a raucous crowd in the new building. They're celebrating the NFC Championship. I expect them to come out and play well.
All right. And finally, we go to Monday night, Lions-Giants. Giants minus 5. Boy, after what I saw Sunday with the Giants offense – if they don't have Beckham, and I'm going to hold off on this until I know. It's down to minus 3 now. But if I can get back closer to 5, I'm taking the Lions.
I think the Giants are going to have a better showing.
I think they are, but
the number's not where I would want it to be. I'm with you. I was hoping and I've seen it. In fact, I think in MGM it might still be at 3, 3.5. And if that's the case, it's different. 5 is getting to be too much, but I like the Giants. If it's 3, it's probably no play if you're not getting better than that.
All right. Well, I'm sure you can use some of those players if you want to play weekly fantasy.
That's right. On DraftKings, week 1 is in the books. Not too late to get closer to the game that you love with DraftKings 1 week fantasy football, though. This Sunday, DraftKings is hosting another $100,000 Pick'em contest. It's totally free to enter, and Pick'em is the newest way to play DraftKings. It's drafting your teams faster than ever. They've organized the players into 8 tiers. All you do is select one player from each tier. DraftKings has beginner and casual contests, so you're always playing against people of a similar skill level. And the best part is you draft a new team every week. Get to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston to play in DraftKings' free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. It's promo code Houston to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try it? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys. Hey, man, if you're into fantasy football and you want to try something different, maybe you're not good with salary caps. Maybe you don't like it when other guys that you're competing against have the same players. Well, that's where Draft comes in. Weekly fantasy football, but not like anybody else. On Draft, you play real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. It's a draft that lasts for just 1 week. There's no management. Just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. And the best part, you're playing for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps. Play in real-life snake draft, just like when you play with your friends. Come and join me on Draft today. Download the app anytime. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes. Or play right from your computer on PlayDraft.com, whatever you want. For a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code ESPN975. That's right. Play on a real money game for free just using my promo code ESPN975 on your first deposit on Draft. Just search Draft in the App Store or go to PlayDraft.com and come play free with promo code ESPN975. And we are back on the Blitz live from the MGM in Las Vegas for Canelo and GGP. Joining us now, who's always in Vegas. In fact, his Twitter's @RJ in Vegas. the gambling guru of the universe, our good buddy RJ Bell. What's going on, man?
When I get away from the Bellagio, I like to be within 10 miles of the Bellagio. And when I'm away for 5 days, I start to feel it. I can be away for four, but that fifth day, nah.
It's tough, huh?
It's just the way it is. 19 years, baby.
Well, that's how I feel if I go more than a month getting back out here. So,
I didn't know you guys were down today. I was down on set with Stephen A.
Oh, really? So somehow, Stephen A's. Next time you talk to him, tell him he's a slob. He's got the same table we do. He left tons of crap on it yesterday. It's like we were busboys that we had to clean up. Whoa, and there's a trash can right next to us.
Let's be honest. There's hierarchies at ESPN. I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
No, but I don't leave my crap around for the nighttime show, Bob and Joe on 1320 in Providence. I don't leave my crap here. I clean it up.
I'm not going to say anything. I can't lie. I could say just, okay, I'll tell.
Next time you see him, just tell him I said he was a slob.
What's your position on Stephen A?
I think he does a great job. The same way that Skip Bayless does, the same way that Clay Travis does. I think he does a great job of being provocative and making up things that get people interested in it, and then people feed off of that. But to me, it's fake takes, and that's great. It's not for me, but it's made those guys a lot of money. So there you go.
Yeah. What I would agree with is that I think the whole debate, embrace debate, is if it's genuine. If two people really disagree, I don't think there's anything more compelling than honest and impassioned disagreement. But
like
when it's like
turnovers.
Yeah, exactly. And then ultimately someone figures out that RJ was right. Or I mean, I'm sorry, that someone's right. And, then someone learned.
But I do think what happens with guys like that is, and whether it's them or their producers, it's like you have to create an argument or a hot take on everything when, frankly, there's things that you shouldn't have. There's things that don't deserve that kind of opinion. So everything becomes Armageddon. And you know what? It's like I said, it's worked great for them. They made a great career out of it, but it's not for me. And, I have no interest in ever becoming that guy.
Yeah, you know what's funny, though? I think almost every show on radio and TV, and more radio, could stand to be shorter. Like, we did an ESPN show here in Las Vegas for over 4 years and ended just recently. And we have a national show now, where we're putting our time. But for those 4 years, we did 1 hour a day every weekday, 10 a.m. Pacific. To me, it was awesome because at the end of the show, there were still a couple things left. And I'm not talking about you guys because you guys almost have a lifestyle show where it's really not about the topics. It's about hanging with you two, which is really harder to do, quite frankly. Right? It's easier for someone to get on and start talking about, this or that and be controversial. I think people connect, Howard Stern's become that, I think. Originally, Howard was so produced. I mean, even in the 90s, if you listen to on YouTube and such, everything's super produced. Now it's pretty much hanging with Howard, and some people like it less, some people like it more, but it's harder to do that. And I think you guys have achieved that. But I think for the most part, most radio shows could stand to be half as long and it'd be much more interesting.
Let's talk to our boss about that. It's a good idea.
Yeah, record well, that. Send that to him. Yeah.
That's what makes it so hard. Well, all joking aside, the fact you're saying that speaks to my point, right? But I also think, how hard would it be? Imagine how many local hours does your station do?
Basically, it's what, 9 hours. 9 hours, yeah.
Okay, so Vegas does say, let me see. Vegas does 7. So, okay, right in that range. Okay, imagine if you had to have 9 different shows. It'd probably be better, but it'd be more expensive and much harder to manage, and someone be leaving all the time. So, yeah, no doubt about it. It's more difficult, but I do think it's the ideal.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But, it's also what benefit you're getting out of some of those hours, too. And, who's listening at those hours? I mean, I think there's a lot to it. But, hey, let's get on to some football because And we talked about this on our show Tuesday night about all the unders to start off. And guess lo and behold, last night, another under, which I think, well, at least two people on this call expected. And what do you make of that? Because I know we talked about it the other night, but I don't think all of our listeners quite heard.
Can you guys hear me? Okay,
yeah, we got
I heard
you.
Something
yeah,
come
we,
out.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Here's what I would say. I think there's a clear reason for this, and I haven't heard many people talking about it. I think the reason scoring is down is because teams are so fearful of their playmakers getting hurt. You're seeing the playmakers practice a lot less and, you know, at least with any kind of, you know, chance of injury, and they play a lot less in the preseason. I think Cam Newton was a perfect example. He had two passes the entire preseason. Two. And he was a little bit hurt, okay, but he played in week one, so he could have played in preseason week four, it would seem. But why risk it? And then what happens? He was mighty rusty. Now, if you look at Cam Newton's the game score for the Panthers, you wouldn't think necessarily he was rusty, but if you watch the game, he was. So my gut feeling is this week becomes less the offenses are less rusty, and in week three, offenses take the lead. So I think this is a 1.5 week kind of thing where it's a big effect in week one, lesser in two, no effect in three. But that's my rationale for overall the scoring being down. With 16 games played so far, there was one postponement recall last week. Only four have gone over the total when it comes to the over-under for points.
The what do you make of there's two teams that were kind of disrupted last week with the Dolphins and Tampa. How much is that affecting the lines, if at all? How much stock do you put into it for two teams that didn't get to play last week?
You know, if you listen to a great poker player and ask him a question, oh, what should I do with aces here? What should I do with Jack 10 suited here? You'll hear this answer almost always. It depends.
Right.
And to me, I love that answer when it's applicable, because it's not robotic. It's what keeps this interesting after decades and decades for me. I think one team, Tampa Bay, suffers for the week off. Doesn't mean they won't win, but I think it's a small downgrade. And the reason being, I think they're playing at home and they've been distracted. You know, and we've talked about that with Houston. And, you know, just because they didn't cover the first week doesn't mean I was right about that, but it does feed into it. And I think it was mighty impressive, by the way, for the Texans to win on a short. I thought they'd be more fatigued on Thursday. And obviously it wasn't a perfect game, but to win that game and come out of it 1-1 with one home game and one road game, I mean, you guys got to be ecstatic. I know that it doesn't look great, but practically in a 16-game season, that 1-1 is wonderful. On the other hand,
if they were 0-2 going into New England next week, I mean, the season would be over.
Yeah, and it's a tough. I mean, you go, you know, they were, what was it, 6 was the line? So, I mean, they were underdogs. So, I think Miami has a huge edge, a positive, because they've been on the West Coast. They've stayed West. So, one, you know, yeah, they're calling back, worried about stuff. But let's be honest, guys especially, if they can put it, unless it's life and death, if it's like, uh-oh, we're going to have to get, you know, new grass put in, they're not worried about it when they're a couple states away, right? What's that old west of the Mississippi rule? I don't know if you guys ever heard that one. But but the fact of the matter is, I think Miami has had almost like a second training camp. And there's no team that could have benefited more because they have a new quarterback, you know, came in mid-preseason. So Cutler gets extra time, an extra week to get ready. Like, imagine in college, that test that you just weren't quite ready for, and it gets postponed a week. Well, what I used to do is still not – I'd wait 6.5 more days and still be behind. But these NFL guys, they practiced all week. So I think the Dolphins are particularly attractive at +3.5 because of the circumstances around the postponement.
Hey, one thing you brought up the other night on our show on SB Nation Network, 8 p.m. on Tuesday Central, which is worth checking out. the Packers since 2012 below 500 on the road, which I find amazing because you think of them as one of the premier teams. But fascinating stat because that certainly plays into them playing the Falcons this week.
I got to be honest. I love you guys, but it really made me think about the difference just now between you and Stephen A. So I was on with Stephen A, as I said, and he was like, and I won't do a Stephen A imitation. I'll just kind of, you know, up my voice a little bit here and goes, we're on with the greatest handicapper, blah, 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 and we're here in Las Vegas, blah, blah, blah. And then you're like, yeah, we got a show on Tuesday. You might want to check it. I don't know, maybe, but it's kind of worth checking out. You're not a hype guy, are you, Fred?
I'm not a fake hype guy. It's worth checking out the show.
That's
worth checking out the show. Yeah, yes. It was a great show. You should check it out.
Oh, wow. So the show, our show's not great?
No, I said our show's great. I'm not hyping Stephen A's show. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay.
That's not Fred's show.
No.
What? No. What's the level
above? No, don't watch that show. It sucks. What do you want?
Hold on a second, though. What's the level above? Is there any? Would you hype our show any more in any circumstance, or we've just reached max hype for you by saying maybe you should check it out?
No. I don't. You know, it just depends on the context. See, I thought I folded that nicely into the conversation
without
shoving it in people's faces. Yeah. without getting in their face. You better listen to this. Guaranteed winners. Documented 12-0 on Monday nights. Yeah, that's that kind of crap. No, I'm not going to do that. Sorry.
Well, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. There used to be a guy on a score phone. I don't even know who he was. I mean, I was back in college. And when he would really like the game, he'd go, sell the house, sell the car, sell the kids. Get ready to get down. Sell the kids. I don't know if that would fly today. All right, Green Bay Packers.
Sell the wife, too, while you're at it.
Home road dichotomy. As much as any team in the league, I think Seattle and them, maybe 1-2. We talked about it last week. That's why we liked Green Bay at home, yeah. Right? And now we got Green Bay on the road. This is the stat. I was actually on with Colin Cowherd today, and he could not believe this stat. He said,
name drop.
That's two name drops today, by the way.
Two name drops for RJ so far.
Listen,
okay, keep going.
I'm just – I mean, you want me to tell you about – I was talking to the mailman today when I got a certified letter. I mean, you got to make it interesting.
RJ having dinner with Burt Reynolds tonight. It's going to be soon.
Steve McQueen, come on.
Burt. Oh, okay.
You have to dig him
Reynolds.
Up for that.
Yeah. What?
At least
what
I at least made someone alive.
Well, I actually was. Oh, it's Steve. Oh, okay. I was going to invite you guys out to join us for dinner tonight.
Burt Reynolds, Tom Selleck, and Dave.
Don Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I gave you guys a little heat. Now I'm getting the heat back. All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I'll take it. Well, I was talking to this radio guy today, and we were talking about the stat from 2012 onward. Green Bay Packers on the road are below 500 straight up. Now, think about that. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Those were a lot of good years for the Packers, right? I mean, there was the one year where Rodgers was out, the five games, if I recall. But otherwise, every year pretty much in the playoffs. And you're below 500 on the road. I mean, that shows you how tough it is in the NFL on the road, but it also shows that the Packs have that split and they play especially poorly in domes. So I think, especially at 2.5, I've seen it going back and forth, but at 2.5, I think Atlanta is a really nice play.
Yeah, that's one that I like quite a bit this week. And although that we talk all the time about three, being a magic, the magic numbers 3-7 to a lesser extent 10, and getting that half and going from 2.5 to 3, I'm not crazy about. But by the same token, I'll keep an eye on that line and see where it gets. If it goes to 3.5. I'm less in love with it. That's for sure.
I was on the phone with Albert Einstein talking a little bit of math today, and he came up with the following: if a game is around 3, so the line's 2.5, 3, or 3.5. About 10% of those games, a little bit less, fall exactly with the favorite winning by 3. So, I mean, it's not like, oh, that's an important number. It's like, and people make the mistake of just looking at all NFL games and how many land on 3. It doesn't really matter, right? What matters is if the game's around 3, how often does it land three, and it's going to be more because that's the projection, right? Three. So almost 10%. So literally, you would say no bet at 2.5, make a big bet at 3. It's that much of a I'm sorry. I guess it'd be based on if you're playing the favorite or dog. It'd be no bet at 3 if you're playing the favorite, but a big bet at 2.5. It's that important.
RJ Bell, our guest, joins us every Friday. Hey, this Cowboys-Broncos game I find a little bit fascinating. The Cowboys are road favorite here. And Broncos short week, obviously, but what are your thoughts on that game?
I think your instincts are exactly right, Friday, is that this is there's value on Denver. And we haven't touched other games where this is applicable, but I think there's 5 or 6 of them. Look at the best performance or performances of week one. Look at the best performances or the worst performances of week one, so best and worst. And ask yourself, how much of this is the team and how much of this is the opponent? And I think there's a couple games to ask that question. I think Green Bay is one of them. To back up just one game, is they look good but on defense. But how much of that is the O-line of Seattle that's just a big problem? And with Dallas, Dallas looked really good. And the question is, how much of that is Dallas and how much is the Giants and the futility on that offense, not only with Beckham out, but other receivers being hobbled. And I think that's underreported with the Giants, where, losing your best receiver, one of the best in the league, is not good, but having number 2 and 3 being hobbled with ankles and lower leg stuff, that's cluster-type injuries, even if they play. And I think Dallas might have looked deceivingly good on defense. You look at Trevor Siemian. I don't want Siemian thrown from behind on the road, but I don't mind him at home in a tight game. So I think all the points you're getting with Dallas are gravy. Oh, I'm sorry. All the points you're getting versus Dallas with Denver is gravy. I like Denver.
The game, that one is high on my list, and the other one that's high on my list is I really like Washington against the Rams. If you had asked me a week ago, who I like, if you're giving me the Redskins, I'm getting points against the Rams, I would have thought you were out of your mind. Redskins had a bad week one against what I think is a pretty decent Eagles team. I don't know that they're any world beaters, but the Rams beat up on a bad Colts team. My mind hasn't changed that much about what I think the Rams are and what I think the Redskins are. And I don't think the Rams are the kind of team that should be giving up points against a team like the Redskins. What are your thoughts on that?
I pretty much had the same back and forth in my mind, and then I've gone one additional step, and I think it's probably important. And we were on the Dream Preview pod, so I do that with Adam Carolla or on his network, and I'm on with Adam every week. Oh, wait, was I supposed to say that? With that, is that a name dropping?
Well, I was going to, at the end of this, I was going to say, RJ, tell everybody what all you're doing now besides pregame, including our show on Tuesday, and tell me how you can do it better than me. That's what I was going to do. So,
oh, well,
there you
listen,
go.
We can do that. I mean, it'll be wrestling style. But is all joking aside, is one of the things that we do, you know, and we called it the Dream Pod last year, Dream Preview this year, is I asked the guys, I said, the Skins last year, and we've got one bookmaker, one better, the better's Fezzik, most famous NFL better in the world. Hey, Skins had, like, I think it was plus 0.6 yards per play last year, which is amazingly good. And the record was decent, but not as good as it should have been. Kirk Cousins, you know, all this sense. And it's like, well, we could sit and say, well, they lost McVay, OC, and now he's over with the Rams. And I do think that's important to say that McVay knows the Redskins much more than the coaches know McVay. So I think that change is a big advantage for the Rams. But I also think the following. I think the Redskins are analogous to the Bengals last year. So think back 2 years ago. Dalton had his career year. And what happened in the offseason? Lost his OC, right, Hugh Jackson, and lost two receivers, not even their best receiver, A.J. Green, and was still there. And then Eifert was hobbled throughout most of the year. Well, as you guys saw last night, right, is not good with Dalton in the last year plus a game and two games. So now I look at the Skins and I'm thinking, okay, you lose your OC who becomes a head coach. So obviously the guy was good. And now they've lost their receivers. I think the lack of playmakers with Washington, it's one thing if a team is like, oh, okay, let's grade them A to F. Okay, they're a C minus there. You can win. You can win the Super Bowl with C minus position groups. I don't think you can even get to the final eight, let's say. Maybe you can sneak in the playoffs, but I don't think you can get in the final eight NFL teams with a position group that's an F because it just gets exploited. How do you rate the Redskins at receiver?
I mean, it's close to an F.
So that's the question. Is someone going to emerge? And if not, I think that and that's what's weird is the idea that I'd rather have half C minuses and then some, you know, let's say all the position groups. I'd rather have half the position groups be a C minus and the rest be, above average to varying degrees than have every position group above average except one's an F.
Here's what I'll say about that, especially when it comes to the Redskins Rams. What's the grade that you would give the Rams at quarterback?
Because I'll tell you this:
one good game, but I've got film of about 14 where he looks like he doesn't even belong in the NFL.
I tell you, AJ, that it's almost like we prepped for this because you just segued into my kind of theorem about the way to look at Week One, which is a single data point. Is if you believe that there's a narrative that Week One fits, then trust it more than if it feels random. So what's some of the narratives? New England Patriots and Tom Brady being 40 years old. Well, he didn't play up to standard. So is it the age? Well, I give it more credence because there is a narrative around his age. And narrative kind of maybe is there logic around it? Might be better than narrative because that implies the media and all that. But is there logic around it? I think there's logic around, and I wasn't talking to him, so I'm not name dropping. Jimmy Johnson was talking on media, and he said he felt like that Goff really was underserved in his coaching last year. Now, Jimmy Johnson's not a negative guy, so to me, I don't know enough to know how good of a coach Jeff Fisher was. How do I know, right, what he's doing in halftime? I'm not a coach. But Jimmy Johnson, when he says that, I take it seriously. Then, so the logic is you got a quarterback guru in, a guy that made Cousins into a $25 million quarterback, apparently. And now he looks two levels better than at any point. And you talk to the NFL Films guys and hear them say he looked like a different quarterback. His eyes were downfield. Hey, it's one game, but the logic fits. So I don't discount it totally. So I do lean Washington a smidge, but, man, I think if you look at last year, like I was even on Wednesday, I think that you got to look at this year and those receivers and downgrade the Skins.
All right, RJ, we appreciate your time as always. We're way over. You can get more of this Tuesday night on SB Nation at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, but you can't get me there.
Yeah, but who cares?
You can't get RJ and
but, all right, you know what? I just said we're like 12 minutes over and you're dragging this out. RJ, thanks for your time, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, I got to tell you about MyBookie. Football season has arrived, and it's time to score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. And people ask me all the time, where can I play? If I'm in Vegas, yeah, I can play in Vegas. But guess what? You're not in Vegas. You're in Houston. So that's why you need MyBookie. And in-game live betting on nearly every sporting event. User-friendly mobile site so you never miss a play. Join now. MyBookie will match your deposit with a bonus of up to 100%. Start winning big today. And if you're tired of getting screwed when it comes to withdrawals, that doesn't happen at MyBookie. They have great customer service, no hassle payouts, no fine print. You'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, and that's guaranteed. Call 844-900-BETS or visit MyBookie.ag to open an account. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at MyBookie.ag. Sign up today.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report. presented by Texas Citizens Bank.
The Dow Industrials enjoyed their best week since early in the year and scored their 39th record of 2017, rising 65 points to 22,268, while the S&P scored a new all-time high, closing right at 2,500, up about 4 2/3, and the NASDAQ just shy of a record, up 19 to 64.48. The market didn't respond too negatively to a variety of different developments. North Korea firing a missile last night, a terrorist attack, a reported terrorist attack in London that injured 29, retail sales and industrial production falling probably because of hurricane disruptions in Houston that pulled some of the sales data out of whack, and the same with industrial production, Houston being an industrial hub in the United States. Oil prices finished up about 4 cents today, just under $50 a barrel. Gold down $4.70 to $13.24 the ounce, while the 10-year note yield ended relatively steady at 2.2% as we closed out this week. Now, moving forward, of course, we'll be keeping an eye on the Federal Reserve, unlikely to do much with policy right away. Still may get some details about that next week.
ESPN 97.5's Market Scoreboard Report was presented by Texas Citizens Bank, the official bank of ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm David Gao, founder of Gao Media. Do you know that our company has worked with just one bank, Texas Citizens Bank? The team at Texas Citizens Bank understands our business, and they've been our trusted partners for almost 10 years. We deeply value our relationship with Texas Citizens Bank, and you will as well. Texas Citizens Bank, it's the official bank of Gao Media.
Texas Citizens Bank specializes in providing owner-managed businesses a full array of customized banking services. TexasCitizensBank.com.
Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
All right, guys, got to tell you about the Kima Craft Beer Fest. Saturday, September 23rd from 2 to 5, the Kima Boardwalk and 24 breweries invite you to spend the day sampling over 72 of the finest craft beers from brewers like Avery, Bell's, Brooklyn, Galveston Island, Carbach, Lagunitas, St. Arnold, Southern Star, Spindle Tap, and more. Guys, there's so many breweries out there. It's going to be a fantastic time. Buy your tickets in advance for only $44.95 per person, $39.95 if you're a Landry Select Club member or you have a military ID, and $49.95 day of the event, so it's worth it to get in early on this thing. Admission includes beer samples, giveaways from beer vendors, and food samples. There's live music all day from the Spasmatics and Midnight Release. Purchase your tickets online at KemaBeerFest.com or on-site at multiple ticket booths at the Kema Boardwalk. All guests must present a valid ID at the time of purchase and must be 21 years of age. That's the Kema Craft Beer Fest, Saturday, September 23rd. For more info, KemaBeerFest.com.